Proverbs chapter 22, if you'll turn there, please. I want to read one verse this evening. And my subject, my topic tonight is in the form of a question. We're asking the question tonight, how good is a good name? How good is a good name? Let me read chapter 22 and verse number 1. I want to talk tonight about the significance of a good name. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse number 1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So you'll notice in that verse, he talks about the priority of a good name, the significance of a good name, the importance of a good name. And that's what we want to deal with this evening. I heard of a rather comical story of a man who had an unusual name, and he went to a judge to get his name changed. His name happened to be William Stinks. That was his name, William Stinks. And so he was talking to the judge, and he asked the judge, well, the judge asked him, he said, now, Mr. Stinks, he said, what do you want to change your name to? And the man said, Bill. I don't know that he helped the situation any to you. You know, I remember years ago when I was in high school, I remember the cruelty that sometimes teenagers would share or would give or offer or whatever. Teenagers can be cruel when they want to. Now, I remember that sometimes in school, teenagers would practice their cruelty by nicknames that they'd give. If someone was wearing glasses, they'd call them Four Eyes. Y'all remember that, don't you? Four Eyes. Shorty, I never have been very tall, but I was called Shorty. Now, in Carol's school, her and Bernie, when they attended school, they called people Dodos. Now, I will not mention this evening some of the names attached to recruits in basic training. I won't even go there. But I can tell you right now, there aren't names I'd be using in church. Now, how good is a good name? Up front, when we look at this verse of Scripture, we find that a good name is better than riches. That's what the verse says. It's better than riches. Historically, when you study history, you find that quality and greatness is associated with names. Many people, just the mention of their name implies a status of greatness, a status of prominence, a status of power, a status of contribution to history, to society. Interestingly enough, in the 19th century, a time of war, a time that Napoleon, with his marches across Europe and conquering in his conquest, at a time of the wars that went on in the 19th century, it was a time that many prominent people were born in the 19th century. Which would lead me to say tonight that the greatest contribution in the 19th century was not necessarily with the contribution of battles as much as it was with babies. Now, to break this down a little bit further, in 1809, you might be interested to know that prominent people were born that year. 1809, William Gladstone in Liverpool, England was born. 1809, Alfred Lord Tennyson, also born in England. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Boston. was born 1809. And then I know that you'll know this name. Abraham Lincoln, Hodgenville, Kentucky, born 1809. When we think of a name, we think of many things. We think of titles. We think of prominence. We think of a family clan. We think of many things. Now, a name may reference a family clan or suggest a family clan. We could talk about the Rockefellers, the Bushes, the Clintons, or the Trumps. A name can also speak of a title or a handle. We call people Mr. or Mrs. We call people Doctor. So it speaks about a title or a handle. A name sometimes references relationships. A husband, a wife, a friend, a child. Relationship. We receive a name at birth, and then we spend our lives attaching meaning to it. Have you ever thought about that? We're given a name when we're born, and then we invest a lifetime investing significance to that name. Which means, if we live right and do right, when we get older, just the mention of our name will suggest an individual that had character, that contributed to society. We know people who have built great value around their name. Just mention their names, and you think of someone with character and significance. When we think of a name, we especially think of the name that we really love, and that's the name Christian. The name Christian is a name that, by God's good help, it can become a distinguished name. It can become a name of influence. It can become a name that can point others to Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 1, the Bible says this about a name. It says that a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Isn't that interesting? The day of death is better than the day of one's birth if that person has a good name. Now maybe I need to break that down just a little bit. A good name is better, and I'm talking about a name that's attached to a child of God. A name like a Christian. Someone that knows the Lord. Then we know this, we know that a good name is better because the dead who die in the Lord have a better future than simply physical birth and the future in this physical life. There is more of a promise and a security in the death of the saint than there is in the birth of a person into the physical life, including the threats and the problems in this world. Death for the Christian has a brighter future than physical birth in all of life's uncertainties. There is more of a blessed assurance for a dying saint than a newborn entering the world of sin. Think about that. I right now would have to say this. I would hate to have to bring a child into this world. I would hate to have to raise children in this world right now, the way this world is. And I admire parents, good and godly parents. I tip my hat to them. I salute them. I thank God for good and godly parents that are making an effort by God's help and grace to raise their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, a solid and a good reputation, and by the way, that ties into a good name, but a solid and a good reputation is better than riches. It's better than riches. The garment of our name is closer to us than the garment of our fabric. When you think on that. Because a name implies a social attachment. A name is a part of our person. So we can see that it's even closer than a garment of fabric. You know, a country music legend who's been dead now a number of years, Johnny Cash, was known as a man in black. And primarily, he was known as a man in black because he wore black uniforms or trousers and shirts and just, you know, he dressed in black. But in reality, Johnny Cash was known more, not simply because of the garment that he wore, but he was known as a country music singer by the style of his music and by the way that he presented his song. That's how he really was known. You know, a name is more important than a fame. A good name is better than a great name. And man, and I know that seems a little contradictory, but I'll repeat it again. A good name is better than a great name, which would lead me to say that good is better than great. And I illustrate it this way. Hitler had a great name, but he was wicked. Greatness is attributed to his being well known across the world with his power and with his ungodliness, but his name was not a good name. It was great in the fact that he was well known, but the name Hitler is not a good name. You know, a good name is free from disgrace and honored with purity and integrity of character. A person's reputation, by the way, may not always be a true measure of character. And here's why I say that. Reputation before people is not the best standard for judging character, for not everybody knows us exactly for who we are. Somebody may say, that person's a good person. And someone else might say that person is a crook. So when it comes to the matter of the standard for a name, the best standard is how God sees us. How God sees us. A good name is earned. You ever hear this? He earned his or her name. He earned his name. Now, some earn a bad name. But I'm talking about a good name. Some people earn a bad name. But a good name is also earned. That also seems contradictory. And I'll tell you why. A good name represents a person with character, and that name is earned. You say, how is it earned? Because we're saved by grace. That's exactly right. But let me follow up with a question. How did we get saved? You say by grace. That's right. But let me follow up again with a statement. Didn't you have to respond to his offer and receive Christ? Didn't we still have to respond to his offer to receive him? We certainly did. So now plug that thought in with what I said. A good name is earned. Earned only in that reason. In other words, a human being still has to respond to God's grace and favor. So, a good name is earned. But I also say this. We earn a good name by making a right decision. By making right decision. A good name is earned in the sense of making right decisions relative to how we respond to God and His will in our lives. That's how a good name is earned. You ever hear this? Live up to your name. Live up to your name. Ever hear the expression, a black sheep in the family? We all have, haven't we? You know, now, the Jews, they had it right. The Jewish custom was to assign names to children that reflected characteristics of maybe the individual. The Jews assigned a name that was descriptive of something about that individual in some way, shape, or form. I know that you probably already know this, but let's look at some of the Bible names, Old Testament names. For example, Noah. Do you know that Noah's name means repose or rest? That's kind of interesting. Noah did rest within that ark, didn't he? And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, didn't he? So it would seem to me like his name suggested his character. Then there was the man Jacob. Jacob means supplanter, or a trickster. He played tricks. He was a modern day word would be he was a joker. So his name means supplanter. Then the name Jonathan means God's gift, or gift of Jehovah. Then the name Adam. Adam means son of the red earth. Son of the red earth. Adam, first man that God created. How did God make man? Out of the dust of the earth. His name means son of the red earth. The name Levi, to join or to unite. The name Benjamin, son of my right hand. The name Caleb, devotion to God. The name Isaac means laughter. Aaron, exalted or strong. Now again, look at 22 verse 1. Look at the text again. And let me break this down. 22 verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. Why is a good name better than silver and gold? Well, it's quite simple. A name has reference to a person, at least in the context that we're talking about here. So a name, we're talking about a human, but silver and gold, we're talking about dead metals. A name is in reference to a living human, but metals to dead metals. So no wonder it's better. Now, note something else here. You'll see in the verse it talks about loving favor. Look at it. It says, in loving favor rather than silver and gold. Loving favor. Loving favor. You know, a Christian is an individual who is taught by God to love. We're a people that believe in love, and God teaches us to love. And that's, by the way, that's the 11th commandment. That's the 11th commandment. Jesus spoke about a new commandment I give you, to love one another. You know, we talk about the 10. What about the 11th? Love one another. So he uses the thought here, loving favor. Do you know what? It's better to be poor with friends than rich and being a hermit. We're better off to be poor with friends than rich and a hermit. Loving favor. Somebody one time said this. They said it's better to be loved by one than admired by thousands. We need friends. And again, he talks about loving favor. You see, this is a part of having a good name. There's love. There's favor. And that's more important, the Bible here says, than silver and gold. Loving favor. Which leads me tonight to say this. You know, we need one another. We need friends. We need interaction with people. Loving favor. Now, by the way, loving favor is not talking about connection to things. It's talking about connection to people. Loving favor. How can things have any respect for loving favor? Things aren't able. Things are inanimate. Or have we got that backwards? Animate. Get confused sometimes with the two words. But how could things react to loving favor? Only people. Only people. We need friends. We need interaction. Now, I'll just stick this in for what it's worth. At a time that it seemed like there are forces out in this world tonight that are trying to keep people apart, unfortunately. And we know this. We respect we know that social distancing may be recommended to combat the spreading of diseases. But it is counterproductive, though, to emotional and spiritual development. We may need it to combat disease, but it is social distancing is counterproductive to emotional and spiritual development. God made us social beings that need one another. That's the way He made us. We need community. We need each other. And yes, we need church. We need church. Everything in the New Testament, you read about the church, you read of Christians fellowshipping and worshiping together. Every church member needs to be in church, and this is a given. They need to be in church unless legitimately, providentially hindered. We need community. We need each other. The New Testament local church has taught in the book of Acts. They were daily together. They fellowshipping, breaking bread, serving God together. It is a community of believers, the local church. And I think this, and I say this tonight with all kindness, with not a drop of malice in my blood, I say one of the best ways to handle the providentially hindered issue is to know that God knows about our providential hindrances and their legitimacies. God knows. So if all the time, if we will be thinking that along that line, I don't need church, I won't go to church, I'll watch church at home, well, just remember this, God knows our legitimacies for being at home. And again, I say that tonight in love. I've had a long vacation, time enough to think about that statement, so I didn't just throw it out automatically. But we need this church. We all do. And would you please say amen? That'd make me feel better. Because it's a fact. Fellowshipping together. So, and then coming back to the thought here tonight, riches are at their best only indirect sources of good. At their best, they're indirect sources of good. Getting better is getting good. Now here's my point. Getting good is better than getting rich. And goodness is attributed to God because God is good. And if we get any goodness, God's going to have to give it to us. You know why I say that tonight? Because there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans chapter number 3. So if there's any goodness that you and I ever receive, God's going to have to give it to us. But getting good is better than getting rich, according to our text. Because again now, note this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, sometimes I've thought one of the best ways to preach, and maybe sometimes I may do it if I get bold enough, rather than stand in a pulpit and try to parse and break down and outline the words within a text, just keep reading the text over and over and over. Because that's how God works anyway, through the Word. It's not through what I say, it's through the Word. So one of the best things to do is just keep reading up. When you go home tonight, when you're thinking about what the pastor said, don't ponder too much, a whole lot. Well, of course, yeah, that'd be nice if you did. I hope you don't forget the sermon. But it would be good to go home and remember, now what did he preach on? Not what did he preach about, but what was the text he preached on? Then keep reading it. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. So, in other words, let God deliver the sermon. You see, you really don't need a joke, a poem, three poems, or rather, 3 points in a poem. I mean, that's okay. I enjoy writing a little poetry every now and then. I put out one today, in fact. But it's the Word of God that gets the job done. But now, I'll do this this evening. And thankfully, I got the pulpit a little bit early, and I have time to do this. Because I'm looking at Mr. Clock right there on the wall. 21 minutes till 8. I've got a little while to go yet, don't I? So I do have time for a little outline. Y'all ready? Here it comes. Get your pen and pencil ready. Students, classmates. All right, the first thing I'll mention is this. The making of a good name. How's it made? Okay, we're talking about a good name, aren't we? The making of a good name. A good name. And now catch this point. A real good name is a new name. A good name is a new name. The first birth, we get a name. But praise God, the second birth, we get a new name. How'd you like that? I mean, I'd even merit an old, subdued amen even. Those Wednesday. Physical birth, we get a name, but the second birth, we get a new name. There's a new name written in glory. And it's mine, and it's mine. So, now the origin of the new name is salvation, and the here's where it gets serious, sober, solemn. The consequences of not getting that new name is judgment. That's as much a fact as the blessings of having a new name. You know, I think sometimes we forget something. We forget that not only is there a heaven, but there's a hell. We seem to forget that sometimes. Oh, I know if you pin us down, we all say, I believe in the doctrine of hell. But sometimes we kind of, if we're not careful, an old slewfoot has a way of making us naive from time to time to think that everyone's going to heaven. You know, I have a sneaky suspicion tonight that not everybody's going to heaven. And it wouldn't surprise me if there were people in Colfax that aren't going to heaven. Isn't that a fair statement? Why, certainly it is. Because straight is a way, narrow is a way that leads to life, few there be that find it. But what's the contrast? Broad is a way that leads to destruction. Many find that way. So I think that's a sober point. The making of a new name. Okay. God is the maker. The new birth experience is how we get it. Secondly, the management of a good name. I mentioned the making of a good name, and a good name, a real good name, is to be a Christian. And how's that made? Only the grace of God. So the making of a good name, now what about the management of a good name? Do you realize this evening, based upon scriptures, you and I are responsible to manage that new name a little bit? There's a part we play. There's something that we're to do. And do you realize it's in the text? Why, look at verse number 3. Do you know that prudence is needful? All right, look at verse number 3. A prudent man foreseeth an evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So we see here tonight that prudence is needful. It's been said if you get too close to fire, you might get burned. Well, we need to be prudent. We can have our names tarnished if we're not prudent. So we're talking about managing our name. We're talking about doing things that are right. We're talking about practicing good old Bible discipline. We're talking about things that that will help to manage our name. Take the title Christian. Do you realize one of the best ways to manage the name Christian is in the spelling of that name, Christian. Christian. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. But the name Christian. Now, what is significant about that name? Well, it has the name Christ in it. That's the main thing. Christian. 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 The name Christ is there. So management has to do with being Christ-like. That's how we manage a good name. We remain Christ-like. They were called Christians because they resembled Christ. We're not, if we go around resembling one another, we're going to be in a mess. I mean, every one of you tonight, I love dearly, and I respect every one of you, but there are times in your life that you would probably let me down as much as I'd let you down. If I look at you very long, that something's going to come up that's going to be disappointing about any one of you. None of you have arrived yet. I know I haven't, and I don't think you have. So, we draw our inspiration primarily from the Christ in the name Christian. Not from Christians, but from Christ in Christian. We're not managed by just the name. We're managed by the one who makes up that name. Prudence is needed. That's how we manage the good name. You know, there are some action verbs that are found in the New Testament that are good words that apply to managing a good name. Words that that indicate how we can continue being a good Christian. Action verbs. All right, let me give you a few of them. Study. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We can manage our name better if we're a student of Scripture. Study to show thyself approved. That's a good verb, study. What about the verb fight? Fight the good fight of faith. What about the word endure? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What about the word run? We run the race that is set before us. Those things help us to manage that good name. Then, work out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So, when I say the management of a good name, I'm talking about some management tools. Another good management tool is found in verse number 4. If we want to manage a good name, here's a good management tool. Verse number 4, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are put. That's verse 3, I'm sorry. Verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches in honor and life. Humility is needed to manage a good name. The fear of God is needed to manage a good name because verse 4, notice this, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And then verse number 5, good conduct helps to manage that good name. Verse number 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So, good conduct, keeping his soul. In other words, it's like this, God saved us and put us on the road to heaven, but God has given us management tools that we still have to use. We still have to practice some things. Do some things. Do some studying. Practice some discipline. Kick ourselves in the shins. Make ourselves do what the flesh does not want to do. Management tools. That good name needs to be managed. So I've said this. The making of a good name, the management of a good name, and then, finally, the magnification of the greatest name. If we magnify the greatest name, then by the way, we will be managing our own good name. And here's how I explained that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in earth, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name that is above every other name. How do we manage our good name? By magnifying the one with the greatest name. When we spend our lives, our efforts, putting the spotlight upon Christ, loving Him, honoring Him, serving Him, exalting Him, and seeking His favor, then we will be managing our good name. Because it's absolutely impossible to totally become absorbed in honoring and glorifying Christ without being helped automatically ourselves in the process. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved, none other name. I heard of a story of a blind man who was attempting to preach a message. He had himself a Braille Bible. He was standing on a street corner, and he was attempting to read the scriptures by the Braille Bible. And in the process of running his hands over the Braille Bible, he got confused. He got embarrassed. He got sidetracked. And he happened to be on that verse, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name. That happened to be the verse he was on. He could not remember at that point in time. His mind was flustered. And he just kept repeating, none other name. None other name. None other name. He just uttered those same three words over and over. That was all he could think of. None other name. It just so happened when he did that, there were people in the crowd that day that laughed. They thought it was funny. But there happened to be a bystander who went away impressed. He had been searching a long time, thinking about the state of his soul, concerned about his salvation under conviction. And those three words began to haunt him. None other name, none other name, none other name. He got under conviction. He got saved. He then later gave his testimony. He said this. He said he'd been trying to save himself, but found out that there was none other name that was a saving name except that name that's above every name. And that those three words were the three words that God used to arrest his soul, and he got saved. Isn't it amazing that a blind witness given us, a blind witness in a stumbling manner was used to lead a seeking soul to Christ? You know, really good name comes from God, and that makes it really good. So tonight, I trust you'll remember this verse, and I hope that you'll read it, because I'm telling you what, there's nothing any more priceless than having a good name that only God gives, because it's a new name that's been written in glory. And to be able to say, by God's grace, I'm a Christian man, I'm a Christian woman, I'm a Christian. Why, you've got a name there that only God can give you. And so don't take it lightly. Manage it well. And maintain your testimony to the end. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray this evening if there's someone that's here that maybe you've spoken to their heart about the matter of the name. And maybe someone here tonight would like to just come to the front here at this altar and talk to the Lord and ask Him to help them better manage their name that He's given them. Lord, I pray that they may be willing to come this evening. And Lord, if you'd nudge them to come and pray about it tonight, help them to come, dear Lord. This is a prayer service. This is a Bible study time. We still have an altar. We still give an invitation. Maybe sometimes we don't, but I feel like we need to tonight. Because people need to make decisions for the Lord. We know that management has to do with making the right decisions. And sometimes the right decision might be a decision in a church service while the message is still fresh on a mind and heart. And we need to do business with God at that point while that message is still fresh on our heart, because the devil would like us to soon forget it. If there's someone tonight that's listening out there, that's viewing this broadcast, that doesn't have the new name that's written in glory, the new name that comes from the new birth, I pray that right now, right where they are, they'd call upon God as a sinner, acknowledge the fact they're lost, and trust Him and ask Him to save them. Dear Lord, tonight, bless and work in hearts and lives, and help us all to be what we should be in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Mike. Number 320.